on air, online, and mobile.
Boston Connects with Jim and Marjorie, mornings 7 to 10 on News Talk 96.9.
It is 9:02 in the morning. Listen to News Talk 96.9. We're Boston Connect. So Wednesday night, Wednesday night, our next guest was hanging out with Bill Clinton. This morning, she's hanging out with people on the tee. Yesterday, I was whining, as I have a tendency to do, that the Democratic candidate for the Senate hasn't been with us in months. Today, she is kind enough to call in. Good morning, Elizabeth Warren.
Good morning. I'm delighted to be here.
Great to talk to you.
Thanks for joining us. So, Elizabeth Warren, you're a professor. You've testified before Congress, spoken publicly a million times. You're a big deal. But I'm wondering how scary it was Wednesday night to come out on that convention podium right before Bill Clinton. Were you nervous?
Yeah, I was nervous. Are you kidding? I mean, you know, that's a big place.
Yeah.
And a lot of bright lights and about a rough estimate, maybe a gazillion cameras and, you know, people shouting. And, yeah, I was nervous.
Yeah. Were you? Did you, like, swallow hard or how'd you move?
You know, what I was most nervous about is I just felt like, you know, so many people are counting on me. And I, you know, it's kind of like that. You've got the ball and you think, man, it's my job to run with this ball. And, so once I started walking and got to the podium, I thought I'm going to be okay. You know, if I can make it to the podium without falling down and knocking out my two front teeth, you know, that part will work. And then I got there and I was ready to start and people just kept applauding and, you know, cheering. And it really kind of set me back. And, it was really kind of overwhelming. And then finally I thought, wait a minute, I got to do this speech. So I stepped up.
Well, I want to ask you something about your speech, because one of the very effective lines of attack of the RNC was ridiculing Obama's line, you know, if you've got a business, you didn't build it. But actually, that all started with you last August saying there's nobody in this country who got rich on his own, nobody. Lots of us thought you were going to use at least part of your speech to defend Obama and rebut that line of attack by the Republicans. You chose not to. How come?
Well, what I was there to talk about was, I think, a bigger issue, but I think they're all related to each other. And that is the question of how it is that America's families have been hammered because the game is rigged. It's rigged against them. And a big part of what I wanted to talk about is how it's rigged against small businesses versus big businesses. You know, this idea that, oh, it's all just business and being pro-business. No. There's a real difference here. You know, I talk to small businesses all across the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and not one of them is able to arrange their taxes so they pay zero in taxes the way that some Fortune 500 companies do. Not one of them gets to take advantage of things like those billions of dollars in oil subsidies. Not one of them made a bunch of money off of risky bets on Wall Street. And so it really is the case that, you know, they're fighting on a tilted playing field. And that was part of what I wanted to talk about last night, because I think we haven't had enough conversation about that. I should say, I say small business, the same is true for families. I'm sorry, Jim.
No, it's fine. Now, I want to follow up on both your speech and something you said about these huge corporations paying nothing in taxes. You know, there's nobody in America agreed with you more than I when you're talking about the game being rigged, the masters of the universe on Wall Street. But while you were saying the president stood up to them, let me just come up with a couple of things I'm writing as you're talking. The head of GE that paid zero in taxes on billions in profits is the head of the Jobs Council for the president. Jamie Dimon is called by the president one of the smartest bankers when he helped this scam at J.P. Morgan Chase. The head of the disgraced Goldman Sachs, Lloyd Blankfein, is invited to a dinner at the White House. Eric Holder, the attorney general, has prosecuted almost none of these criminals on Wall Street. Isn't the president part of the problem, Elizabeth Warren?
Look, the problem is there has not been enough accountability. But the real question is, which direction are we going in here? I hope you've seen the videos of Mitt Romney saying, if he is elected president on the first day, he wants to repeal all of the financial reforms. He wants to say loud and clear to Wall Street, elect me, guys, and I'll let you go back to what you were doing before you crashed the economy. And just, you know, you'll get nothing but a big kiss for that. Just keep right on at it.
But, Elizabeth,
and
what kind
I
of message?
I think that's the wrong attitude.
But speaking of message and kind of, what does it say when you have Lloyd Blankfein at your state dinner for the president of China when he's the leader of this Rat Pack at Goldman Sachs. Isn't the president saying exactly the wrong thing to the American people?
You know, all I can do is get up and say what I believe,
okay.
And that is there has not been enough accountability, and that the folks who brought this economy have still never been held responsible.
I agree, including by the Attorney General. But let me speak about Clinton's speech, which I think the consensus, at least in this studio, is one of the greatest speeches of all time. Not only does he say no one is ever right, he says, quote, what works in the real world is cooperation. So here's my question for you. Isn't a guy who broke with the Republicans to vote for Don't Ask, Don't Tell, voted to reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act, was the key vote, you just mentioned the bill, on the bill near and dear to your heart, financial reform, Dodd-Frank, which prompted the Senate sponsor, Democrat Chris Dodd, to say, quote, during the debate on Wall Street reform, Scott Brown has demonstrated how bipartisanship is supposed to work. Isn't Scott Brown exactly what Bill Clinton was calling for in Washington, somebody who is willing to cooperate with the other side?
You know, I really, really wish that were the case. But the problem is, on the central Republican agenda, Scott Brown has been there marching in lockstep. And we can just kind of go through the pieces. On the economic part of it, we had 250,000 people unemployed here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Three jobs bills in a row. And Scott Brown voted straight down the line with the Republicans. No, no, no. Voted against summer jobs with the Republicans. Voted against the Buffett rule with the Republicans. Voted to say no extension of tax cuts for middle-class families because there weren't enough tax cuts for the top 2%.
But Elizabeth Warren, without his vote, your Consumer Financial Board and the Dodd-Frank bill would not be the Dodd-Frank law, correct?
Well, let's dive into what Barney Frank has said about that. There are two parts to it. The first part is, you're right, he stood there, he held the deciding vote. But what did he trade it for? Did he trade it for a stronger bill? Did he say, hey, listen, guys, I want to see you get tough? No, what he traded it for was to weaken the Volcker Rule and to give $19 billion in breaks to the biggest financial institutions. There was a reason that shortly after that vote, he became, according to Forbes magazine, one of Wall Street's favorite senators. And then his actions after the vote, it came out, what was it, 3 or 4 months ago, that he had been negotiating in secret to further weaken the Volcker Rule, to delay its implementation.
Well, he says
in other words, he's been out there working for the big corporations, for the biggest financial institutions on Wall Street.
We're talking to Elizabeth Warren, who's running a course for the United States Senate against Scott Brown this November. Elizabeth Warren, you gave this huge speech on Wednesday night, the whole nation watching. You get up the next morning in the New York Times, not just the Boston Herald or the Boston Globe, is interviewing Native American Democrats at the convention, actually, accusing you of exaggerating your heritage to advance their career. And suddenly, this becomes not just some right-wing parochial attack anymore. It's in the New York Times, and these Native American Democrats, like so many others, don't believe your denials. This continues to be a huge problem for you, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I don't think so. It's been pretty clear all along. I know what my mother told me, and I know what our family grew up with. But I think what matters the most now in this election is, what are we going to do for the families here in Massachusetts? You know, the families here in Massachusetts, there are a lot of folks that are hurting. You saw the most recent jobs bills. There are a lot of people who are working part-time jobs when they'd like to have full-time jobs. There are a lot of people struggling to pay for their college loans. There are a lot of seniors who are worried that if the new Affordable Care Act gets repealed, they'll have a harder time paying for their prescription drugs
and for
their services.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Elizabeth Warren, but, you know, you're the challenger to a guy that's well-known and well-liked by many people, and this is a huge credibility issue, the idea that you took advantage of something you shouldn't have to move from University of Oklahoma and University of Pennsylvania to Harvard University. It's sticking with people. They're worried about it, and they don't feel you've explained it well enough.
Well, Marjorie, as I said, I think the record is clear on this. I never took advantage of anything. People have seen my college applications, my law school applications. They've interviewed everybody who hired me for every job I've gotten. And Charles Freed, who was the Solicitor General of the United States under Ronald Reagan, who has said in print that he voted for Scott Brown, who was appointed to the Supreme Judicial Court here in Massachusetts by William Wells, said, I hired her, and he said, I didn't even know about the Native American until years later. So it's not that there's been any advantage. I think this is one of those where it's a family story, and it's what I know. It's what I know about my family, and but I didn't take any advantage from it.
Hey, Elizabeth Warren, last question from me. While you were doing the Charlotte thing, Scott Brown described as, his word was, an outrageous waste, his expression, an outrageous waste of taxpayer dollars, this federal court decision ordering the state to fund sex change operation for a guy who had been convicted in the 90s of killing his wife. Are you outraged, too, or do you think the federal court made the right decision?
Yeah, I have to say, I don't think this is a good use of taxpayer money.
So you oppose the funding of the sex change operation for this Kosolek character?
Yep.
Hey, one little housekeeping thing. I know you got to go, Elizabeth Warren. We've done debates with every Senate campaign, John Kerry, Brown, and Coakley, and you and Senator Brown agreed months ago to do a debate with me and Jim here, but we've had this gridlock on the debate. Scott Brown actually got personally involved, calling up Jim to ask what he, Scott Brown, could do to make this happen. So I'm hoping, Elizabeth Warren, we can get a commitment from you today that you'll personally get involved and make this happen too for us. What do you think?
I'd be delighted to be personally involved in it. As I understand, there's some problem on the calendar, but I want to do this debate. I wanted to do more debates than Scott Brown did. I kept asking him to do more, and I'd be delighted to do the debate with you.
Well, I always say, as long as we're getting your personal commitment that you will intervene, just like he intervened with me to make this happen, Elizabeth Warren, we appreciate it. Can I ask you what we appreciate? And we're going to hold you to it. In fact, we're going to ask, before you hang up, who in your campaign we should talk to. One last quick question. Michael Dukakis, who I love, in the convention, says Romney's a fraud. He trashes Ray Flynn. But then he says this about you. I know Elizabeth's media hasn't been as good as it should be. She knows that. I think we're going to see significant changes. What significant changes are we going to see, Elizabeth Warren?
Well, I have to say, I'm going to keep talking about the issues because I think the issues are really important. This race is about whose side you stand on, and Scott Brown stands on key issues with the Republicans. He stands for big business. He stands for Wall Street. He stands for big oil. I've been out there my whole life working for working families. Their fight is my fight. And I think what just, you know, the best I can do is take that to the people of Massachusetts. And my view is, you know, I don't think they want a senator who's there with them some of the time. I think they want a senator who's with them all the time.
Elizabeth
That's
Warren,
I want to be.
We really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
News Talk 96.9.